So we're looking at the two dots in the middle of Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and this begins a new sugya. So I'd say it's about, shall we say, 10 lines down from the top, maybe a little bit more than that.
Lefikach,
right? Excellent. So before we start this Lefikach, we have a little bit of an introduction here, and you may be able to find this in the page that we photocopied. It should say Mem on the top left. It should say Mem Aleph Amud Beis Aleph. Mm-hmm. Is there such
yes.
a thing?
Yes.
So after the asterisk on the left side, he gives you the background material here. And he says the following: there are two types of chatos that are fundamentally different one from the other. One is called chitzona and one is called pnimis. So in the case of chatos chitzona, which is, shall we say, your classical korban chatos, that's brought on the mizbeach hachitzon. And there's a chatos hapnimis, which if you take a look on the bottom, he says that applies in... How are you?
All right, well, I
For today, we have enough. So we have the following cases, which you'll see all the way on the bottom of your page on the left. He says, number one, we have something called Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur. Number two, we have Par Kohen Mashiach. And numbers three and four are the Par and Sawyer of Yom HaKippur. And each one of these four korbanos has to be understood. That, you know, when do we bring the korban? What occasion arises? For example, the Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur means that the Bezin HaGadol, the High Court, issued a certain verdict, a ruling, and in mistake they caused a situation where most of the tzibur violated an iser chamur, a very severe iser, an iser kari. So they have to bring what's called a par helim dover shel tzibur, and that represents what's called a chatos pnimios, which means that the avod is done on the inner mizbeach, which is called the mizbeach hapnimi. Now the fundamental difference which the Mishnah establishes is the following: in all chatos where the avoda is done on the mizbeach hachitzon, then out of the four, the what's called four matan domim, right? Chatos is unique in that there are the four kronos of mizbeach, and you have to do a zrik on each one of the four. However, only one matana is absolutely indispensable, which means the following: that if he does one matana on one of the four kronos, then the korban is kosher. Beyond that, he has a chiyuv, a mitzvah to do the matanos on the other three kronos, but that's not critical. However, with regard to chatos hapnimios, there the din is that all four matanos on all four kronos are absolutely indispensable. So here we want to read. Again, I'm not going to read every word. I may be summarizing, but I photocopied a few, so you'll have it. You'll see on the left side you have notes Ches all the way to the bottom to Yud Beis. And in note Ches, he points out that this presentation, that one matana is enough, b'di'evit, meaning that's the barest minimum, that's only according to Beis Hillel. Beis Chai required two matanos, two out of the four. And that's in the case of a chatos chitzona. He mentions that this principle of chatos chitzona also applies to korban ola, osham, and shlomim, all of which are nesinas damim on the mizbeach hachitzon. And in all these cases, one matana is absolutely required. Now the question becomes, what happens if he has a machsheves psul? Meaning, what if he has a machsheves psul after he already performed one of the four matanos? So one of the four matonos is absolutely indispensable, but that clinches the kashrus hakorban. Would there be a psul if he had the incorrect machshava in one of the three balance matonos? Now, when we speak about machshavas psul in number tes, you'll see he lists three cases. We're familiar with all of them. The first case is where he has a machshava with regard to the dam, that it should be a what we call machshavas pigul, should be chutz lezmano. What's chutz lezmano? That either the haktara of the murim should be beyond its allotted time, or the achilas habasa should be beyond its allotted time. So that's called one machshava posel. So that's machshavas pigul. Then he has the second machshava, which does not generate pigul, and that's called chutz lemkoma. In other words, he has in mind that the haktara should be in a different place, in the wrong place, or the achilas habasa should be in the wrong place. And then finally we get to the third category, which is very special to chatos, and that's called shelo lishma. And shelo lishma means that he had a kavana not for the sake of a chatos, but for the sake of a different karban. And in such a case, with regard to chatos, the karban is possible. So again, these are the three types of categories of machsheves psul. And now we want to understand in which of the four matanos, because we said in the case of chatos, the Torah requires four matanos, only one of which is li'kuva, right? We have that. In which of these matanos would a machshava poselus operate, be effective? And that's as far as a chatos chitzono, which is brought on the Adam is back, where only one matana is indispensable. So he says the following. This you'll see in the text itself. He says, if nasana rishona kitikuna, if the first of the four matanos was done properly with the correct machshava kidina, as it was supposed to be, even if he has a machshava poselis in any of the balance three matanos, the carbon is kosher. None of the other three matanos, once he has the first matana, have the power to pasel the carbon, whatever machshavas psuli has. Oh, but what happens if he has in the first matana a machsheves chutz lezmano, for example, and then in the second matana he has a machsheves chutz lemkomo? Now chutz lemkomo passes the karbon but doesn't generate pigu with an isakaris bachiloso. So now if we have what's called a tziruf of machsheves hamitztarfos, then once we integrate both the machsheves chutz lezmano together with the machsheves chutz lemkomo, then the carbon is possible, but it's not pigul. But the exception is in the case of chatos chitzona, where only the first machshava is critical. There, if he had a machshava of chutz lezmano, which is a machsheves pigul, the carbon at that moment becomes pigul. And the fact that in the second matano, whichever of the other three matanos, he has machsheves chutz lemkomo, that's no longer mitztaref. So again, the classical case of mitztaref would be, let's say he did one nesina, one avoda, and half the avoda he did with machsheves chutz lezmano, half of the avoda he did with machsheves chutz lemkomo. There you have the tziruf, you join together the two machshavos because they both apply to one avoda. In the case of a chatos, once he did the nesina on the first keren, since that's critical, that sets it up as an avoda, which completes the process of the karbon, so to speak. Again, that's not exactly accurate. It doesn't really complete the process of the karbon because the Torah does require another three matanos. But as far as the status of the karbon being kosher apostle, everything depends upon that machshava. So we're saying that with that machshava, now the carbon becomes pigul. So if he had it the first one of the four zrikos, he had a machsheves chutz lezmano, the carbon becomes pigul. And that means that even if he has a machshava of chutz lemkomo, or for that matter, any machshava posels in any of the other three matanos, that's not going to undermine the status of Pigel, because that status of Pigel was already set in stone.
On the outer one. Is on the outer.
Yeah, we're about to get to our discussion for today. This is all just background material, so that we'll appreciate the difference between what we call chatas pnimis, those four karmanos that we mentioned, and all the other chatos. So with regard to all the other chatos, the machsheves pigul in this case was established in the first zrika, the first matan domin. So you'll see in number Yud, if you take a look for a second, he says that Pigul Eino Mispagil HaKorban Shechoshev O'Machshev Eschutz Zmano Elim Naseis Bekashris Gmura. In other words, what you need to understand is that there's no other Machshava Poseles that integrated itself together with the Machshava Chutz Zmano. If there was an integration of that sort, then it becomes possible without Pigul. Al kein afim choshev bo machsheves chutz zmano. He says, if he had a machshava chutz zmano, if with regard to any of the other avodos, he would have a machshava of chutz komo, it would not be mispagil kevin sheish bo psul nosa. But kan, here in our case, he had a machsheves psul acheres. Ein omer, we don't say kevin she ein akorb mispagil kidin avodah shechoshev bo b'shtei machshavos el kevin she matana zu ein makeves. So take for example, he does four avodos, right? He does shechita, kabbalah zrika, and holochin zrika. So if he would have, let's say, at the time of the shechita, machshava of chutz l'zmano, right, which would be a machshavos pigul, if in the second avodah, or the third avodah, for that matter, the fourth avodah, he would have machsheves chutzim koma, then the carbon is possible, but it's not pigul, because we need all four avodos. But then we get to the carbon chatas, and again, we're talking about a chatas achitzona, where one matan domin is enough.
But this is zrika. We're talking
We're talking about the matan domin, meaning the zrika.
Right.
And all he needs is one zrika to be machsheh the carbon, and therefore on the flip side, all he needs is one zrika to passel the carbon, in this case to make it into pigul, let's see it inside. He says, kevon sheba matana zu, eina makeves, if he has a machsheves chutzlum koma, in the second matan domin, in the second keren, that's not likuva. That's not like the case I gave you before, where he needs all four avodos, and therefore if he has machsheves chutzim koma in one of the other three avodos, after in the first avodah he had a machsheves pigul of chutzim zmano, there is an integration. Why is it an integration? Because I desperately need those three avodos, any one of them. You know, you can't skip any of them. Here, once you're getting to the state of matan domim in a karban chatos, since once he finished with the first matana, the other matanas are not ma'akvos, he says, eina machsheva ba po'el es davar. Whatever machsheva he has during the other three avodos doesn't register on the Richter scale.
Can I ask a question?
Just let me finish the sentence here. Bein lefagel, okay. Just 1 second. I lost the place here for a second. Bein lefagil u bein lahotzi midei figul. That's where I want you to underline those words if you can. Lahotzi midei figul. In other words, the machshava of chutzlum koma, which normally is mafkia pigul, will not be mafkia pigul in this case. Why? Because that second matan domin is not makeves. And if it's not makeves, is eino poelis bo davar. So it's very interesting. Here are my two quiz questions to see if we're on board here. Let's say he had in the first matan domim in this chatos a machsheves lishma, you know, kitikuna, kidina, everything was wonderful. And then in the second matan domim he had a machsheves psul. Would that passel the carbon?
Yes, but with no carb.
No, it would not passel the carbon.
That
why?
Was my question, by the way.
Right? It would not passel the carbon. That's what I want to underline here. Kavan. Please underline these words, because I think this is a great introduction. You know, after Shavuos done, it's like I'm getting back into. I gave many classes here, so I'm trying to get back on the bandwagon. And I was lucky to find this, because this gives, you know, at least it's a place to start with. You know, it gives me the background. He says, he says, Kevan Shematana Zu Enama Kevis. Okay, so we're up to the second Matan Domim. It's not critical. Therefore, Ein Machsheva Ba Poelis Dovar. The Machsheva that he has at the time of the second Zrika, the second Matan Domim, doesn't register at all. Ein Poelis Dovar, Bain, in both directions. Bain Lefagel. If, let's say, his original Machsheva was a Machsheva Kitikuna, which means the proper way, then the second machshava, which is machshava posels, does not in any way pasel the karbon.
Even those mana,
right?
Okay.
Again, and that's why I want you to underline those words. Eino poel is davar. That's the eino poel is davar means it doesn't. His machshava doesn't register. Eino poel is davar. I don't know how many times I can repeat that. He says, Ubein lahotzi midei figel. If his first machshava was machshavas pigel, then the machshava that he has in the second matana will not undermine the state of pigel. So that's what we have so far in Chatas Chitzono.
Yeah. Isn't that only according to Beit Hillel? Beit Shammai needs all four.
And according to Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai needs two.
Uh-huh.
Two out of the four. Beit Shammai just ups the ante by one.
Right.
So then that's going to be Beit Shammai. Oh, now we get to our main topic for today. That's Chatos HaPnimios, which, as we said in number Yud Beis, refers to four different karbonos. So please underline that. And there the Mishnah establishes that kol hamatonos ma'akvos, that in the case of the avoda of a chatos pnimis, we need all four matonos. Oh, and now we're up to the word lefichach, which is the first word for today. Okay, ulefichach, and therefore, he says, im nosan kulon kitiknon. So here we're going to have the following. There are four matanos now, and in three out of the four, he had the right machshava, that's called kitiknon. But in one out of the four, he had a machsheves shalo kitikna, and that passes the karbon. So whereas in Chatas Chitzona, only the first machshava, the first nesina, registers, in the case of Chatas Pnimis, all four machshavos will register. I'm just looking here again. I hope you have the page here that I photocopied for you. Number Yud Gimel. He says, "Biur kitikuna v'shalok kitikuna bebav v'zum is parish pashk v'shiteva says pashk v'reisha." So the words kitikuna and shalok kitikuna here parallel what they say in the first part of the Mishnah, which is referring to Chatos Chitzona. Shel umas ha'omer sham shenasan es rishona kitikuna v'kashrus v'sachronu machsheves kutzus mana korban kosher. But the Mishnah says in the case of Chatos Pnimis, by contrast, nifsal ha'korban. Oh, now in the next line he says ela she'eno mispagil. Oh, now here he introduces another principle which we're not necessarily familiar with. As far as psul ha'korban is concerned, and we're talking about a chatos pnimius, which require what? All four matonis likuva. Then a machsheves psul will generate a psul karbon in any one of the four matonis. So you can do three out of four matonis kitikun, and he messes up on the last maton. However, that's only as far as psul karbon is concerned. As far as pigel is concerned, we have a principle of ein pigel b'chatzi matir, which means that if we need all four matanos in order to be matir the karbon, which, you know, that whatever that means, you know, to be matir the basar, matir the akhtar, and so forth and so on, because all four are likuva, then the pigel would have to be in all four matanos. So again, as far as psul karbon is concerned, a machsheves psul will passel the karbon in any one of the four avodas, even if you did three out of four, I'm sorry, any one of the four matanos, even if he did three out of four matanos kitikuna, because I need that fourth matana. It's critical in the case of pnimis. And if it's critical, then if he doesn't have the right kavon, it passels the whole karbon. However, as far as pigel is concerned, we have another principle, which is called ein pigel b'chatzi matir, that whatever I absolutely need, I have to have a pigel, machsheves pigel, for all of it. you know, for whatever I need. Okay. Now that has to be understood. Obviously, that's a complicated principle, and hopefully we'll get a grasp on it now as we go through the sugya today. But let's accept it sort of in a more general way and see if we can flesh it out. Okay, then? All right. Now, in footnote number Yudalid, he gives you an overview of the structure of the sugya that we're about to learn. In a certain sense, he gives you what I call let the cat out of the bag. So I'm not even sure if we should do this footnote, but what the heck, he has it, so let's do it. And he says the following, that Mahalach HaSugya, he says the whole approach to the sugya is going to be the following. We're going to start with the Mishnah and Masechta Menachos, and we're going to see that all the avodos in a Korban Mincha parallel those that we do in a Zevach, or Zevach means either an animal or a bird in this case. It doesn't matter whether it's an Olas Behem or an Olas Oaf, it doesn't matter. And in the Mishnah and Menachos, the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachomim as far as this concept of pigul b'chatzi matir. And it would seem at the face of it that Rabbi Meir is going to maintain that there is such a thing as a pigul b'chatzi matir, which would mean that in the case of a chatas pnimis, where you need all four nesinas, if you had a machsheves pigul in any of the four, that would generate pigul. But then he quotes Reish Lakish. That's going to be the next stage in the Gemara.
Who's Shammai is the first?
That's Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Meir.
Our whole discussion today will be about this Rabbi Meir. What exactly did Rabbi Meir say with regard to this principle called Ein Pigul B'chatzi Matir? And before we get to Reish Lakish, we assume that according to Rabbi Meir, there is Pigul in a Chatzi Matir. Reish Lakish says no. Reish Lakish is going to interpret Rabbi Meir in a very specific way. Then he's going to go back to our Mishnah here in Zvachim to try to prove that his interpretation of Rabbi Meir is the correct one. The Gemara is going to reject Rabbi Meir. He's going to reject Reish Lakish's proof from our Mishnah, and then the Brisa is going to bring two The Gemara is going to bring two Brisos to upslug Reish Lakish as a counter argument against Reish Lakish, and we're going to have a long discussion about the first Brisa that's going to take us into the next onward. You know, we're on Mem Aleph on the Beis. This is going to go into Mem Beis on the Aleph. So without further ado, let's go back to the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. So this is Mishnah Masechta Menachos referring to Machsheves Pigul, and in footnote number Tezayin he gives us again a very nice background here. He tells us that in Menachos, the Seder Avodah is very similar. It's like a mirror image of the Seder Avodah of all korbanos that come from animals. And it works like this. In the case of an animal, we have what's called Shechita, or in an oaf, we have Malika. Its parallel in Mincha is called Kmitza, which he says the Kohen grabs a fistful of wheat, I guess you'd call it flour that's made from wheat, and he grabs onto this. Okay, then what he does is he places this kmitza into a kli sharis, and that parallels what we call Kabbalah. Kabbalah means when in Zvachim when you receive the dam in a kli sharis, and then then we have halacha, and then we're ready for zrika in a zevach of a behema. In the case of a mincha, what replaces the zrika is called haktoras hakometz al gabi mizbeach. Knows whatever he had in the kometz, which he put into klishares, now has to be brought onto the esh on the mizbeach, and that's the clincher. That's the fourth avoda in a mincha, which is called haktorah. So the Mishnah establishes Pigel Bikometz. Okay, now let's figure out what's going on here. And now we have to take a look at footnote number Yud Zayin. And he says the following, that although we have outlined the four parts to the Avodas HaMincha, but what we haven't mentioned is critical, which is called the Levona. That just like there's a kometz of Mincha, there's also a kometz of Levona. this lavona is a certain kind. I don't know the exact frankincense. Okay, and that spice is brought together with the mincha on the mizbeach. He will take a kometz of lavona, again a fistful of lavona, place it on top of the kometz of the mincha itself, meaning the kemach, and then put the two together, the mincha and the lavona, on the mizbeach to be burnt on the mizbeach. And both of these are absolutely critical. So if we're talking about, like in Chatas Pnimius, where we need all four matanos, in the case of mincha, of any carbon mincha, we also have two different kinds of haktaros, you know, what you put on the mizbeach, and again the haktar parallels the zrikas adam in the case of zevach, that are both indispensable. And once again, we have another case in point of what we call shnei matirim. Again, before we had four matirim, meaning we needed all four matanos in the case of achatas pnimis. Now we have two matirim, which means the kometz and the lavona, both of which have to be placed on the esh in order to be burnt as haktara. So the Mishnah wants to know, if you have these two matirim, which is called kometz and lavona, which one of them would generate pigel if you had a machsheves chutz l'zmana? And the Mishnah establishes that pigel bekometz velo bilavona, or bilavona velo bekometz, is according to the Chachamim. I'm skipping Rav Meir for a second. It's not pigel. Why? Because the Chachamim maintain that there's no pigel ad sheyafagel bechol amatir. And since both of these matirim are absolutely critical, meaning I need both what? I need both the kometz and the lavona. So if he has a machsheves chutz l'zmana in one of the two and not in the other, then the mincha is not considered pigul, and if somebody eats from it, he's not chayav kares. Ad sheyafagel b'chol hamatir. And basically what we're seeing here is another application to the rule that we mentioned earlier on the top of this page, that in order to be mafagel, you would need a pigel in all of the matir. In the case of chatos pnimius, it means you have to have machsheves chutz l'zmana on all four matanos, because all four matanos are critical. In the case of a mincha, you have to have machsheves chutz l'zmana on both the haktara of the kometz and on the haktara of the lavona. Why? Because ad sheyafagel b'chol amatir. But what we skipped here is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir omer pigul v'chayoven olea kares. Rabbi Meir says that in this case, you're chayav kares. Why? Because it's pigul. You did not have a machsheves pigul on both matirim. You only had on one, and that's clear from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah, the answer is that Rabbi Meir apparently rejects this principle called ad sheyafagel b'chol amatir. And he feels, Rabbi Meir, that if you had a machsheves pigul in one of the two matirim, that would be sufficient. That's going to have an impact on our Mishnah here in Zvachim with regard to chatas hapnimis. Would Rabbi Meir validate or recognize the din of pigul, the chalos pigul, if he had a machsheves chutz l'zmana on one of the four matanos? Chachamim for sure would say no, that's not pigul. You need machsheves pigul chutz l'zmana on all four matanos, because there's no such thing as pigul without a pigul b'chol amatir. But what about Rabbi Meir? And that's where we're going to have a whole new interpretation of Rabbi Meir coming from the mouth of Reish Lakish. Meaning before Reish Lakish, we assumed, as we read the Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir is holding that all you need is a machsheves pigul in one of the matirim, which would either be in a mincha in kometz or in lavona. And again, if we take that interpretation of Rabbi Meir, that's going to have a tremendous impact on our Mishnah in the case of the four matanos of achatas pnimis. But all this is before Reish Lakish. Om Reish Lakish. Lo tema, you misunderstood. Taima, the Rabbi Meir, the underlying explanation of Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir de Kassari holds mefaglin b'chatzi matir. That's not so. That's not. Rabbi Meir also agrees to the fundamental principle that ain pigul b'chatzi matir. Now, Rabosai, the original understanding, we call it the pre-Reish Lakish understanding, that Rabbi Meir holds that there is Pigul and Achatzi Matir, that in fact is the sheet of both Rav and Shmuel and Masechta Menachos. And that you'll see if you want to underline Nobiyu Test, which is two lines up from the bottom of your page. Kasher Noktu Bedaito Rav Ushmuel Bimenachos. Okay, now the question is, how is Reish Lakish interpreting Reb Meir? If Reb Meir also agrees in principle that Ein Pigel V'chatzi Matir, so why in this case of Kometz V'lo Levona, Levona V'lo Kometz, does Reb Meir say that the Mincha is Pigel? Elohacha Mayaskino, what's the case that Reb Meir disagrees? Kigon Shenosanes HaKometz B'machshava, Machshava means Chutzuzmana, meaning Pigel. Vilavona bishtika. Shtika means he didn't have anything in his mind. Okay, and now if we switch it around the other way, he put the Lavona on the Mizbeach with a Machsheves Chutzuzmana, but when he got to the Kometz, he didn't have any Machsheva whatsoever. Now, what do you notice about those two scenarios?
There's only one.
Again, I'm going to go over it again just to make sure that you can catch what I'm saying. What do you notice about the way I'm presenting these two scenarios in which Rabbi Meir is going to push for Pigel? Scenario number one, when he put the Kometz on, he had a Machsheves Pigel. But then when he put the Lavon on, he didn't have Machshav at all. It was Bishtika. Scenario number two, when he put the Lavona on, he had a Machsheves Pigel. Then when he put the Kometz on, he had no Machsheva whatsoever. What do you notice about both those cases?
First one, first application.
The sequence is critical. That's the way Reish Lakish interprets this Mishnah. Because again, if you go back to the Mishnah again, take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, B'Kometz V'lo B'Lavona, B'Lavona V'lo B'Kometz. Meaning, the Mishnah went out of its way to mention, first, the Avoda which he had a Machsheves Pigel, the Chutzuzmana, whether it was Kometz first or Lavona first, but in both cases. Had it been the reverse, meaning had the Machsheves Pigel come in the second Avoda, then even Reb Meir would apply the principle of Ein Pigel B'Chatzi Matir. Why is it different if his Machsheves Pigel came first? After all, it's only a Chatzi Matir. Because Savar, what does Reb Meir hold? Kol Ha'oseh Aldas Rishona Hu'oseh. Whole new principle that Reish Lakish is introducing, bless you, shedding a whole different light on the sheet of Rabbi Meir. It all depends on his original machshava, and when he sets the framework by virtue of his first machshava, everything flows and stands on the shoulder of his first machshava. So again, even though he had no machshava whatsoever in the second one, whether it be the Lavona afterwards or the Kometz afterwards, whichever it is, nevertheless, it's al-das rishona huos. It's like a continuation of his original das. So again, even Rav Meir requires a machshava's pigul in both matirim according to Reish Lakish, both for the Kometz and for the Lavona. Rabbi Meir's shita, his Rabbi Meir's unique shita is that he has Machsheves Pigel for both matirim. And why is that so? Because kala ose al das rishona hu ose. Now in footnote number chaf aleph, yeah.
Right, so in this example, in the second application, he has no Machsheves at all. What if he had a positive Machsheves? Now he only has one Machsheves Pigel.
Ah, in that case, then Rabbi Meir would agree that Ein Pigel B'Chatzi Matir. Now, Reish Lakish is saying that Rabbi Meir's whole sheet is based on the fact that it was a shtika in the second avoda, whether it was in the Kometz or Lavona, whichever of the two. Mm-hmm. But if he had a machshava lahachshir, so then we can no longer say al das rishona. He has come to exclude the das rishona. But the truth is, Don, when I think about it twice, the answer to your question might be here in the machlokus between the Sfasemes and the other Achronim, which you'll see in number Chaf Aleph. The Sfasemes says that in the second Avoda, whatever it was, the Haktaras HaLavono, the Haktaras HaKometz, Lo Chashav Klal. Does everybody see that? It's on the top line on the left column. In the footnotes. So if you underline those three words, lo chashav klal. So in other words, there's nothing in his mind. I apologize that I use the word jughead. You know, he's got nothing in his brain at this point. That's the way the Sfas-Emes learns it. However, he says, if you fast forward about five lines, Yesh Achronim Shenakdu, other Achronim disagree with the Sfas-Emes, and they say, Al Das Rishonu Osa Kavanehi, Sha'anu Meinichim, we assume, Shekein Haisa Daito Mash, that he had such a Machshava.
And what Machshava?
In other words, whatever he said in the first Machshava, that's what he had. No, it's a quick Sfas-Emes. He has nothing in his head. Don't try to fish below the water. You know, the deeper waters here. He has nothing in his mind, and it doesn't matter. Why? Because once he has the machshava in the first avoda, that's enough to determine in this context pigul. According to the other achronim, it seems that Al Das Rishonu says really a psychological analysis, so to speak. The answer to this question, what was he thinking in the second avoda, is that he was thinking the exact same thing he was thinking in the first avoda. The chiddush of Rabbi Meir then is that he doesn't have to speak out, he doesn't have to be explicit and bold about it, outspoken about it. We can assume that that was his machshava. Now it seems, according to the achronim who disagree with the Sfas-Emes, in order to establish Rabbi Meir's principle, apply Rabbi Meir's principle with Pigel, what you need is the second Machshav. It's not that Rabbi Meir's doing away with the second Machshav. It's not relevant. Rabbi Meir understands that Ein Pigel Bechatzimatis. You need a Pigel Machshav in both Avodos. The Chiddush of Rabbi Meir is that he actually had that Machshav in the second one. He didn't say anything? Okay, but we can figure it out. A man has to tell me something when he initiates the process, he makes that declaration, then we assume the entire process is done based on that declaration. According to the Sfas-Emes, on the other hand, we have no relationship to his machshava in the second. He's not thinking anything, but it doesn't matter. Now, getting back to Don's question, could this be a possible nafkimina? What happened if he tells us what his machshava was in the second avoda? Could be, according to Sfas-Emes, that's irrelevant. But according to the other achronim, that we have to generate through this principle of Al Das Rishona, who also we have to generate, so to speak, Yesh Me'ayin, and we have to create his machshava. Then, if he tells us otherwise, again, I don't know. You know what? I'm not sure. You know, this has to be analyzed. Maybe you can go the other way. You know, we have to really think about this harder.
But it's not. It's not analyzed in this.
Right. That's what I'm just saying. This is already, you know, more the Iyud part of Asugya, you know, that he quotes a machlokas achronim on how to understand Rabbi Meir Kohen Tereshal.
The term shtika and machshavat stam or stam, are those synonymous? Because I think we had some discussion. He's thinking stam, he's still in the world of korban, no, but he's in the wrong korban, as opposed to stam on nothing. Or I think that there's a subtle difference there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the truth is that if you look at the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah says, Pigel v'komets v'lo b'levona. B'levona v'lo b'komets. The word shtika does not appear in the Mishnah. So we really have to figure out where Reish Lakish got this word shtika from. Reish Lakish says that the case of Rabbi Meir is Nasa nesakomets v'machshov v'salavona b'shtika, which according to the Sfas-Emes at least means Shalokhashav Klum. He didn't have any machshava whatsoever.
Maybe that ties into whether it has to be an oral declaration or a mental. Shtika is only if you think it's had to be an oral declaration and Dafka didn't say it.
Well, I would say the opposite, maybe, Ben. If you hold that shtika is not a declaration, maybe we're holding that you need a declaration. The Chiddush of Meir is, in this case, I don't need a declaration, an oral declaration, because I have it, so to speak. It's inherent in his first declaration. I don't know. Very complicated to figure this all out. And I also wanted to point out to you, footnote number Yud Ches, if you can go a little bit backwards for a second. And he says the following. You see, the sugi that we've been studying in Menachos is on Daf Tezayin. He goes back to an earlier sugi in Menachos on Daf Yudalid Amid Beis, and there the Gemara clarifies that if there would be pigul bechatzi matir, that the psul of the carbon would only be derabbanan. Meaning, let's go back to pre-Reish Lakish, before Reish Lakish, which was Rav and Shmuel and the Sechta Menachos. They hold that according to Rabbi Meir, there is such a thing as Pigul V'chatzi Matir, which would mean that even if he started with a Machshava Ketikuna, and then at the end he had a Machshava of Chutz Luzmana, the carbon is possible according to Rabbi Meir. He says that if you look in the sugya, you'll be surprised to find out that whole din of pigul b'chatzi matir is only midrabbanan. And why did the rabbanan institute such a din of pigul? They made it xera. Why? Because there are scenarios in which either kometz or lavona could be the entire matir. Again, for that we'd have to learn Masechta Menachos. But just to get the theory of it. What the Chacham were worried about is that although in the classical case of Mincha, barring a few flaky exceptions to the rule, you need both Kometz and Levona, but there are these exceptional cases where you can have a Matir through Kometz alone, or alternatively a Matir through Levona alone. So the Rabbanu were worried that if we're going to allow for a kashrus hakarbon in a classical case of a mincha, where you need both a machsheves chutz zman on both kometz and levona. If we're going to say, well, you know what, he only had a machshav on one, and therefore the carbon is kosher because there's no pigul with a chatzi matir, then what's going to happen is that tomorrow they're going to think, wait, you know why yesterday they said the carbon is kosher? That's because he didn't have a machshavas pigul in both. And they're going to apply that straight across the board, even to cases where there is only one matir. So that's the rabbanan. So this, again, in a sense, this piece of information, which sheds a whole new light on our sugya, which comes from Menachos Daf Yudalit. We're not really officially privy to this information. We're learning Zvachim, we're not learning Menachos. And I would have said that in the pre-Reish Lakish's view, understanding of Rav Meir, the Yesh Pigul B'chatzi Matir, that's a Doraisa halacha. And in general, Rav Osai, what we have to, again, I'm not ready for this yet, but what does it mean that Rabbanon makes something into Pigul when Midoraisa it's not Pigul? I don't know exactly how that works. So that's just another indication of how little we know about kashrus, but that has to come along. Now Reish Lakish wants to prove his point. Mimai, how do I know that this is the correct interpretation of Rabbi Meir? Midiktani, because it says in our Mishnah, again, now we're going back to Masechta Zvachim, it says Ulefichach, this is a reference to Karbonos Chatos Apnimios, where you need how many matonos for both sides? Likuva. Four, right? We need all four. In Nasan Kulam Kitikunam, the Achashalokitikna, Possel the Ainbo Kares. If, let's say, three out of the four matonos he did correctly, he performed correctly, but in one of the four matonos he had a Macheves Pigul. Is the carbon is possible, but it's not pigul. Why? Because again, we have a principle called ein pigul b'chatzi matir, and here we need all four matonos in order to be machshev b'chatzi pnimis. He only had machshevus pigul in one out of the four, and therefore that doesn't register a machshevus pigul, but it does register what? A psul in the carbon, because again, I need all four matonos, and in one matono you had a machshev of chutz uzmana. So comes along Reish Lakish with the following diuk, meaning when he reads the Mishnah meticulously, and he says the following: in the case where he had a machshava shaloki tikuna, which means machshav is pigul, the carbon is possible. Ha achas shaloki tikuna v'kulon kitiknan pigul. The implication of the Mishnah would be that if he did one of the matanos shaloka tikuna with the machsheves pigul, the kulon and all the balance of the matanos kitiknon, it would be pigul. How do we understand this? And the Mishnah seems to assume that what was the sequence? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Nasan kulon kitikuna. What does kulon mean?
all four?
No, kulan here means three, right? Kulam kitikunam, the achas, meaning the fourth one, shalo kitikna. So where was the Nachsheves Pigul? At the beginning or at the end?
At the end.
At the end. That's why it's possible. So Reish Lakish says, why did the Mishnah give that example? Why did the Mishnah give an example where he had a Nachsheves Pigul in the first Matan? And the answer is, ha, if he would have had Acha Shalokitikuna, meaning if in the first Matan Damim he kicked it off with the Nachsheves Pigul, the Kulan Kitikuna, even though, and again, mostly we have to understand the word kitikuna here means b'shtika. Again, we'll have to accept that right now as a divine decree. Okay, so he had that shtika on the other three matanos. Pigul, it is pigul. Now, how could that be? We have a principle called ein pigul b'chatzi matir. So why if he started off with one machsheves pigul on the first matano, would the karban by implication in this mishnah be pigul? You need a pigul on all four matanos because ein pigul b'chatzi matir. The four matanos are critical. Mani. So who's the author of this mishnah? Ilei merabbanon. If you tell me it's the chacham ha'amrinon ha'ami rabbanon ein mefagul b'chatzi matir. So what good would it do if he had a machsheves pigul in the first of the matanos? It's like the case in Menachos, where the rabbanon insists that if he had a pigul at the time of the levona, not the kometz, not the levona, that's not considered pigul. Here also, we should assume that if he had a machsheves pigul in the first of the four matanos, and the other ones were b'shtika, it would not be pigul. Ela by process of elimination, it's Rabbi Meir. Now wait a second. You're assuming, he's talking to Rav and Shmuel here, you're assuming that according to Rabbi Meir, yesh pigul b'chatzi matir. He says, ve'i time of the Rabbi Meir, mishun defaglin b'chatzi matir, and then afilu kidiktani. Then Rabbi Meir should have said it's pigul even in the case that's mentioned to the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Nosan es kulam kitikuna. What does mean kulam? The first three. The achas shalom kitikuna. And the fourth one he did with the machsheves pigul. The Mishnah says it's possible, but it's not what? It's not pigul. Well, if this is Rabbi Meir and you're interpreting Rabbi Meir that Rabbi Meir maintains that yesh pigul b'chatzi matir, in that case it should be pigul. We're basically Reish Lakish is saying mimonafshah. I don't understand this Mishnah. The Mishnah makes a difference between the following two scenarios. Scenario number one, which the Mishnah addresses explicitly, is where he had a perfectly good machshav in the first three matanos, and then he had a machshavas pigul in the last matana. So that's called kulam kitikuna. The achas, the word achas means the last one, was shalom kitikuna. And the Mishnah says there's no pigul. Who does that go like? Because the implication of the Mishnah is that had he started with a machsheves pigul in the first matana, then it would be pigul. The reason why this case is not pigul is because he left the machsheves pigul for the last avodah. Had he introduced machsheves pigul in the first avodah, the Mishnah is implying that it would be pigul. Well, who does that go according to? Mimarashav, it doesn't fit. According to Rabbanan, how could it be pigul if he had a machsheves chutzesman in the first matana because ain't pigul b'chatzi matir? Rabbanan would certainly require, like they do in the case of Kometz Levona, that he had a machsheves chutzesman on all four matanas. So it can't be that by implication the Mishnah is telling me if he had a machsheves pigul in the first of the four matanas, that's going to generate pigul even though he didn't have such a machshav in the El, what are you going to tell me to Meir? Well, Meir holds yesh pigul b'chatzi matir, supposedly. I mean, Reish Lakish is going to upslug it. So if Meir holds the yesh pigul b'chatzi matir, then even in the case that's explicitly addressed in the Mishnah, it should be pigul, where he did three matanas kitikunam, the fourth matana was machsheves pigul, is yesh pigul b'chatzi matir, and now the carbon should be pigul. Why does the Mishnah say it's not pigul? And the answer must be that we're misunderstanding Rabbi Meir. And what does Rabbi Meir hold? Allah mishum de kasara kola osal das rishona hu oseh. That in the case where he started with the first three matanos with a perfectly good machshava, and he completed the fourth matana with a machsheves pigul, Rav Meir agrees that that's not pigul because ain pigul b'chatzi matir. But if he switches it around and he had a machsheves pigul on the first of the four matanos, then Rabbi Meir applies the principle kala osal das rishona hu osa. It's a whole different principle. It's not the principle of yesh pigul b'chatzi matir. Rav Meir agrees that ain pigul b'chatzi matir. In that sense, he's on the he's on the same page as the Chachamim. But he introduced a new halacha that if you had a machshava, let's say an explicit machshava with a declaration, as you began the matana, the first matana, then that's going to carry us through to the other matanos. But if he had a machshavas pigul in the last matana, that's not going to be pigul because ein pigul b'chatzi matana. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just wondering.
You know, in Kodshim, if I understand one line in the Gemara, I'm like jumping for joy. So I think I got the flow of the Gemara. Yeah.
Maybe the Chatzi Matra has to be redefined, because if either the first or the last somehow retroactively makes the other ones possible, that's not really, it makes it as if the whole thing is people. I'm just saying if the definition.
So again, when you say retroactive, it gets me a little nervous here. I'm not sure what you mean, Ben, because again, we're explicitly rejecting retroactivity here. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is that the fact that you had a machshava in the last of the four matanos, and that was a chutz l'zman machshava, that has no impact retroactively whatsoever, even according to Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir is going to go in one direction, you know, the chetz, the arrow goes this way, but not the other way. And that means that if you started the avodah b'machshavas pigul, then we take that matana achas, and we assume, again, let's go according to the achronim, against the Pnei Yoshua, that even though he made no declaration whatsoever, if we would analyze his psyche, you know, with electrodes and so forth, and read his mind, we would find out, not to our surprise, that he had the same machshavas chutzis mind in the other three matanos. So I don't know what you mean by retroactivity. I get nervous when you throw that into the equation. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak liolam rabbanan hi. I don't accept this mibon of shach of Reish Lakish. This Mishnah could reflect our Mishnah in Zvachim could reflect the shita of rabbanan. And even though rabbanan hold the ein mafagle mechatzi matir, nevertheless, we're not going to say that if he had a machshava on the first, a machshavas pigul on the first avoda, on the first matana, that carries us through for the entire balance. We're not going to apply this principle of aldas rishona who owes it, but rather he needs a machshavas pigul befall, I guess you'd say, in actuality, on all four matanos, because each one is absolutely critical. And therefore, each one is a chatzi matir. Actually, I can call it a reva matir. Right? And therefore, umai. So you'll ask me, what did the Mishnah when it said kitiknam? Right, the Mishnah says nosan kulam kitiknam, the achashalo kitikna. So we assumed what that meant was that he implemented the first three matanos without a machsheves psul, without a machsheves chutzis mana, but then when he got to the fourth matana, he had a machsheves chutzis mana. No, that's not what the Mishnah means when it says that all three, the first three, were done kitiknam, which you interpret to mean b'shtika, right? And then the last one he had a machsheves pigul. So again, kitiknam b'shalo kitiknam, in your understanding, Reish Lakish means with a machsheves chutzis mana, that's called shalo kitikna, or the flip side, kitikna means with shtika, without any machsheva whatsoever. That's not the pshat. But what does the Mishnah rather mean when it says that he did all the matanas, the first three matanas, kitiknam lepigul? Now, Reish Lakish is assuming that the word kitikna means in the right way, you know, in the proper way. He's saying kitikna means to set it up as pigul.
That's a chiddush.
That's a big chiddush. The Gemara is going to reject this, but let's just understand Rabbi Shmuel. So he says the following: Hainu ba'ofen anitzrach sheis pagal karban. Kitiknan in this Mishnah means he had the machshava in such a way that it would passel the karban b'toras pigul, meaning a machsheves chutzis mana. And the Mishnah means to say that since all four matanas are ma'akvos, therefore, if he had three matanas for machsheves pigul, but in the last one he didn't have a machsheves pigul. Like for example, let's say in the last of the four matanas he had a machsheves chutz l'mekomon, it's not pigul. Pasul hu v'ein bo kares. Why? Because lo pigul b'chol amatir. So the Mishnah is trying to tell me that even in a case where he had a machsheves pigul in three out of the four matanos, we're not going to assume that therefore he had a machsheves pigul in the fourth matana. And again, we're saying he needs critically a positive, actual tangible machsheves pigul in the fourth matan as well, because ein pigul b'chatzi matir. And therefore, what Rav Shmuel is saying to Reish Lakish is, don't derive conclusions about Rabbi Meir from this Mishnah, from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Chachamim. The whole argument of Reish Lakish to bring our Mishnah as a proof to his thesis and his reinterpretation of Rabbi Meir was based on the premise that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Shmuel says, no, the Mishnah could go like the Chachamim. But what do you mean the Mishnah could go like Chachamim? How can the Mishnah go like Chachamim if the Mishnah says that in the first three of Matanis he had no Machsheves Psul, and in the fourth one he had Machsheves Psul, Mashma, that if he had Machsheves Psul in the first one, that would be Mefagel LeKarban, that's against the Chacham. No, says Reb Shul, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. What the Mishnah means to say is he had a Machsheva Bekula, and a Machsheva Ketikuna means a Machsheva of Chutz Lizmano, Ketikun LePigul. And then in the fourth Machsheva, in the fourth Matan Domim, he did not have a Machsheves Pigul. In such a case, the Mishnah says that it's not Pigul. Why isn't it Pigul? Because Ein Pigul V'chatzi Matir. You need a Machsheves Pigul Befal, again in actuality. He's got to make that declaration, let's say, in all four Matanims. So the Gemara doesn't like this. Because let's read the Mishnah. V'ha Midik Tani, the Mishnah says, L'fichach im nosan kulam kitiknon. The achas shelo kitikna posul the ein bo kares michlal de tikna lach shera hu diasa. Yes, the word kitikna is not the way you say it, Rabbi Shmuel. That it means kitikna to posul the carbon to make it into pigul, but rather it means lach shera hu diasa. The word kitikna means it was the right machshav. It was lehechshera karbon, and shalokitikuna means that it's not lehechshera karbon, which is against Reb Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah. So let's just read. He says v'kinsa Mishnah es osa matana shenasna b'shtika is shalokitikna. V'lo amra im nosan kulon kitikna mchutz me'achas mehen. He's saying that according to you, Rav Shmuel, the Mishnah should have said that he did the matanos, all of them kitiknam, with the exception of one of them. No, it sounds like the Mishnah is setting up a contrast between the first three and the fourth one. The first three were kitikunam, and the fourth one was lechshera. The first three was, I meant to say shalom kitikunam, I don't remember what I said. And the fourth one was kitikunam. I'm sorry, I think I got it wrong. The first three were tikkuna, and the last one was shaloka tikkuna. Correct? The last one shaloka tikkuna. And then the carbon is not pigul. Why? Because it was the last one that was shaloka tikkuna. But when it says about the first three that was kitikuna, apparently the Mishnah means to say that it was done with the right machshava. You're telling me, Reb Shmuel, that it was done with the machshava's pigul. Well, if that be the case, maybe the Mishnah should have been formulated differently. And it should have said shalom kitikuna. It means in nosan kulon kitiknon, right? Chutz miachas mihen. In other words, he implemented three matanos with a machsheves chutz uzmana. That's the way Shmuel is learning it, except for one of them. And one of them he had shtika, let's say. So that doesn't seem to be indicated by the Mishnah. Okay, now at this point, what the Gemara is going to do is, the Gemara is going to try to salvage Rabbi Shmuel and answer this question that the word kitikuna could still mean kitikna lepigul, and that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chachamim. The Mishnah says that nosan es achas shelo kitikna, which according to Rabbi Shmuel means b'shtika. And the Mishnah is coming to tell you that you don't apply the principle of Aldas Rishon Osa, and because there was Shtika on the fourth Matana, we assume that also, like the first three, was with a Machsheves Chutz Lizmano Shelo Kitikuna. Amar Rava, my Shelo Kitikuna, what does it mean, Shelo Kitikuna, in the case of the fourth Matan Domim? It means with Machsheves Chutz Lizmano. Shelo Kitikuna means with a Machsheves Chutz Lizmano, meaning that since there's no pigul b'chatzi matir, then even though he had a machsheves pigul in the first three matanos, but nevertheless he had a machsheves chutzim komo in the fourth matana. And since ein pigul b'chatzi matir, we integrate the fourth matana into the other three because all four are critical. And if at the time of the fourth matana he had a machshava chutzis mano, so through the halach of tziruf machshavos, the carbon is going to be pasul and not pigul. So in other words, why did you reject Reb Shmuel? You were bothered by the fact that the Mishnah should have said nasan hulam kitikna chutz miachas mihen, which means that he didn't have a machshava posels in the fourth one. No, that's no kasha. The Mishnah couldn't have said chutz miachas mihen. The Mishnah wanted to tell us that the fourth machshava was shalo kitikuna, meaning shalo lemachshavas pigul, but rather lemachshavas chutz l'makoma,
which is only possible and not pigul.
Which is only possible and not pigul. And why is that? Because since we need all four matanos and they're all critical, therefore we have a tziruf here between the machshavas chutz l'zmano and the machshavas chutz l'makoma, and together they create a psul in the karbon and they remove the status of the karbon as what? As pigul. So let's just see. I'll try to push one more, one more paragraph here. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi says that what does shalo kitikna mean in our Mishnah, meaning the fourth of the matanos was shalo kitikna, shalo lishma. Because there's no need to introduce, as Rava did, that the fourth matana was chutz l'mkomo. It could have been chutz shalo lishmo. Because again, what kind of carbon are we talking about? A carbon chatos. What's the status of shalo lishmo and a carbon chatos? It's possible, right? Oh, so therefore, there are two ways of establishing a psul in the fourth matana that would be mafkir, that would undermine the status of the carbon as pigul, because we need that fourth matana and therefore it's integrated. It's either the way Rava said it with a machshavas chutzim komo, or of Ashi who suggests that it was a machshavas shalo lishma. Now, if I understand correctly, there's no machlokas here between Rava and Rav Ashi. Let me just double check that, which I think I saw. Oh. Take a look at number Chav Ches here. He says, Rav Ashi Mosif Shevshal Hamid Mishnah Gamba Ofen Zeh. Please underline the brackets here. He says, Velo Ba Lachlok Al Rava. He's not coming to disagree with Rava. And the Netziv in his book, Merome Sod, is not so happy. This is Rashi's prep, but he's not happy with Rashi because he says, why does Rav Ashi feel compelled to add Shalol Lishman to the equation here? What difference does it make whether it's chutzim komo or shalo lishma? And we would never doubt that machsheves shalo lishma has the exact identical status as a machsheves chutzim komo, which means the machsheva poselis, which to the extent that we need it and it's critical, is going to undermine the status of the carbon as pigul. That was the Netziv's question. So again, let's just take a look at sort of like the summary of what we learned today in the text itself, in a paragraph that starts Va HaMishnah Lomar. Do you have such a paragraph on the left column here? Correct? And he says the following, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if he performed all of Matanos in a machsheves shalo lishma, which means kitikun lepigul, and then he had in the fourth matana a machshava of shalo kitikno lepigul, but rather either shalo lishma or chutzim komo, since we need all four matanos, shalo nitnu kol matanos machsheves chutzim zmano, and we have a principle called ein pigul ela bechol amatir, but not Bechatzi matir. So in this case, he didn't have a machsheves pigul in all of the matir because we need the fourth zrika no less than we needed the first three. Is therefore lonis pagala karma. Is me'ata ein raya min a mishnah. This mishnah now reflects the sheet of the chachamim. We don't know what Rabbi Meir holds. Is there pigul bechatzi matir, which is Rav and Shmuel's opinion, or the way Reish Lakish understood it, ein pigul bechatzi matir, but kola osel das rishona hu osel. And that's what we're left with. Now the Gemara asks the following question. If the Mishnah is talking about a case, whether you go with Rava or whether you go with Rav Ashi, it makes no difference. That the last of the four Matanos was done with the Machsheves Psul, and therefore the Karban is Pasul and not Pigul, meaning the first three Matanos were Machsheves Kutsuzmano of Machsheves Pigul, but the fourth was a different kind of Machsheves Psul, whether it be Rava's Chutzim Kovo or Rav Ashi's Chutz Shalolishma. The implication is Michlal, the Chilo of it Hachi. Let's say, for example, if in the fourth Matana, after three Matanos with the Machsheves Chutzuzmano Pigul, he did not have neither a Machsheves Chutzim Kovo nor a Machsheves Shalolishma, Mechayev, and there would be Karis, meaning, let's say, for example, in the fourth. In the fourth Matana, he had Shtika. Then it would seem, by implication, according to Rav and Rav Ashi, either way, that in such a case there would be a Chiyuv Karis, and there would be Pigul. In other words, we can apply the principle of Das Rishona Hu Ose. And that's not the Chachomim Shita. So how could Rav and Rav Ashi recommend, you know, that same approach that the Mishnah is Chachomim, and at the same time maintain that if he had a shtika in the fourth matana, it would be pigul. It would only be pigul if you assume, because again, ein pigul b'chatzi matir, that aldas rishona would apply, and therefore we set up a machsheves pigul even on the fourth matana if it was b'shtika. So Gemara answers no. That's not the way you should learn the Mishnah. But Ivy the Tana Resha Pigul the Chayovnala Kares, Tananami Seifa Posul the Ainbo Kares. In the Resha, if the first Nasina was Chutzlus Mana, then since we're dealing with Chatos Hachitzonos, where only one Matana is critical, therefore the Machsheves Pigul of Chutzlus Mana, the first Machsheva, is Koveya the Karban in an irreversible way as Pigul. So even though in the second Machsheva he had a Chutzlum Koma, it still remains Pigul. And the Chiddush here is that the Machsheves Matana Hashniya, insofar as the second Matana is not Ma'keves, therefore it doesn't have the power to be Mafkia Midei Pigul. So Taninami in the Sefer as well, in order to maintain this symmetry, so to speak, that if he did the first three matanos with the machshav of chutzus man and the last one with the machshav of chutzum komo and shalol lishma, posel the ein bo karis. In other words, he didn't need to mention that in the fourth matana he had a machshava of chutzum komo or shalol lishma. That was unnecessary. Even shtika, the same halach would apply because we're not holding al das rishona hu oseh. The only reason why the Mishnah mentioned that in the fourth Avodah he had a Machsheves Chutzlum Komo or Shalol Lishma is to maintain the symmetry to the Reisha, whereas in the Reisha what happened was he had a Machsheves Pigul in the first Machsheva, and that's Koveh the Korban is Pigul, and the Chiddush here is that you're not Mitzari from Machsheves Chutzlum Komo to the first Machsheva in order to be Mafkia Pigul, so he mentions Chutzlum Komo even in the fourth Machshav in the Sefer when we're talking about a Chatos Pnimis. But the sum total of our sugya is that according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir is not maintaining that there's a Pigul B'chatzi Matir, but rather if the first Matir was done with the Machshavas Pigul, then we assume Aldas Rishonu said that he has a Machshavas Pigul in the second, etc., the second Matir. And Reish Lakish wanted to prove this from our Mishnah, but the Amoraim, whether it's Rav Shmuel that we discussed earlier, or Rava, or Rav Ashi, they maintain that there's no proof from our Mishnah, and it could be very possible that according to Rabbi Meir, Yesh Pigul B'chatzi Matir in every situation, whether it was in the first Matir or in the second Matir. Now the Gemara brings the Tosefta from the fourth parak of Karbanos that deals with the case of Nitanim Lamala, Nitanim Lamala, and this brisa that's quoted is going to be a proof against Reish Lakish in Rabbi Meir, in Reish Lakish's interpretation of Rabbi Meir. Meisve, the Gemara says they raised an objection to Reish Lakish from the brisa. The brisa seems to assume that if there was a machshava at the time of the first Matan Damin to be mafagel the carbon, then that seems to be sufficient. Again, we're talking about all carbonos with the exception of chatos, because according to Beit Shammai, in the case of chatos, there are two critical nesinos, matonos, and therefore it's not enough to have a machsheves pigul in the first matona. But let's say according to Beis Hillel, let's go the easy way, even in the case of chatos, like in all other carbonos, all you need is one matona, and that's critical. And therefore a machsheves pigul at the time of that one machshava would determine that the carbon is pigul. When is a machshav in the first matonim mefageles? That's only bedomim hanitonim al mizbeach achitzon. Why? Because then all that's likuva is the first matona, and pigul is required in terms of the matir, which in this case of the chitzonios is in the first matan domim avol. And here we turn to daf mem beis amud aleph. In the case of Dovim Anitonim al Mizbeach HaPnimi, means in the case of Chatos HaPnimius, Kigon Arba V'Sholosh. Okay, he starts with the Par V'Soyer of Yom HaKippurim, which require 43 Matonos. Plineda will go through the 43 Shal Yom HaKippurim. V'Achad Asar Shal Par Koin Moshiach. In the case of Par Koin Moshiach, how many Matonos are there? There are 11. V'Achadasar, in the case of Par Helen Dovah Shel Tziva, likewise, there are 11. And in all these three cases, whether we're talking about the 43 matonos of a Par V'Sar Shel Yom HaKippurim, or we're talking about the 11 matonos of the Par Kohen Mashiach or the Par Helen Dovah Shel Tzibur, you need all these matonos, 43 or 11, and they're all critical. It's therefore pigel. If, again, you know, if we're talking about Yom HaKippurim, then we're talking now about the Kohen Gadol. If he had a machsheves pigel of chutz l'zmano, bein berishona ubein bishnia ubein bishlishis, so whether or not he had this machshava chutz l'zmano in the Nesinas Dom Rishona, now the Nesinas Dom Rishona and all these karbonos that we mentioned is in the Kodesh Kodoshim, and again I promise you we'll go through the Seder Avoda for these karbonos, ubein, and even in the case of the Shnia, which is a Zrika in the Heichal, again we left the Kodesh Kodoshim and we went out into the Heichal, and that's a Zrika on what's called the Paroches, or we get to Nesina Shlishis, the Dam that's now Nizrak on the inner Mizbeach in the Heichal, which is called the Mizbeach HaZov. So let's just quickly go over the Seder HaAvoda. And we're talking about, in the case of Parchatos Shel Kohen Gadol, or the Seir Chatos, the HaZov is inside the Heichal and in the Kodesh Kodoshim, and the Seder is as follows. As the Rambam organizes it in Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim Perek Gimel, he says that first he does the Hazah of the Dam HaPar, Shmona Hazoyos B'Kodesh Kodoshim, and that's Bein Bari Ha'aron Karv L'Kapores. So we have now 8 Hazoyos in the Kodesh Kodoshim on Yom HaKippurim, and then Achas L'Malav V'Sheva L'Mata. So now we have the other 8 hazos, which is Achas L'Malav V'Sheva L'Mata, so we should be holding by 16. Afterwards, he does Hazov the Dama Soyer Bein Badei Ha'aron Shmona Achas L'Malav V'Sheva L'Mata. And then he leaves the Kodesh Kadosh, he goes into the Heichal, and in the Heichal on the Paroches, he does another 8 Zrikos. Okay, and then the Rambam says v'chozer umazegam dam hasoyer al parochas shmona hazoyos achas lamalo v'sheva lamato. And then he mixes the two damim, the damim the dam apar and the dam hasoyer, and he does a hazov from both of them, 4 hazoyos on the 4 kronos on the mizbach hazov, and 7 hazoyos al emtzo'o. And then he leaves the heichal into the azora and the shiur yadami shofech al Yisod HaMizbeach. So it comes out like this. How do we get to the number 43 matonos? So we calculate 8 matanos of the par, 8 matanos of the soyer. All those are done in the Kodesh Kodosh Bimbari Aaron Karv Lekapores. So we're up to 16. Then he has another 16 that are done on the paroches in the Heichal. So we're up now to 32. And then he has 4 and 7 avos, another 11 on the Mizbech Hazav. And if we add the two numbers together, we get to 43. So we're talking about 32 and 11. 32 and 11 is 43. Okay, so that's as far as the par v'sar of Yom HaKippur. Then when we get to the matanos of the Kohen Mashiach, the par Kohen Mashiach, or the par Helen Dov Shel Tzibur, there we're talking about 11 hazoyos, which means we only have the 4 hazos on the Mizbech Hazov together with the 7 hazos lemal lemato. Let me just see if I can show you where this is. He says here, if you take a look at number Gimel, Sheva al haparoches, and again, we're no longer in the Kodesh Kodoshim here, we're in the Heichal, and he's got 7 hazos and od arba al arba karnas Mizbech Hazov. And that's what we have here in the cases of Par Mashiach Shel, Par Kohen Gadol Mashiach, or Par Elim Dovah Shel Tzibur. Okay. Now, what happens if he has a Machsheves Pigel on any one of these many, many Hazoyos? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigel V'chayov and Alov, Kares, meaning it's Pigel and it's Kares. Chachom Omerim, Ein Bo Kares. It's only possible ad shifagel b'chol amatir, and we need all these matanos, whether it's the 43, whether it's the 11, in order to be matir. So, in other words, he, in order to create pigul, according to the Chachom, he has to have a machsheves chutzus mano on all the hazos, whether the hazos in the Kodesh Kodashim, the hazos of the dam in the Heichal, the hazos dam al Mizbech Hazov, and the 4 zrikos and the 4 kronos. Otherwise, it's ein pigul bechatzi matir, and there's no kares. So now let's get to the Gemara's kasha based on this brisa. K'toni miha, it says in this brisa, pigel bein barishona ubein b'shniyo bein b'shlishis. Right, so he had a machshavas pigul in any of these upolig, and yet Rabbi Meir holds that the carbon is pigul. Now, if he had a pigul in the first set of hazoyos, then I can understand. We could say that even if he didn't have Machsheves Pigel in the second or the third sets, but nevertheless, Kolos Al Das Rishon, and that would be Reish Lakish. But the Mishnah also mentions Pigel Bishniyo Bishlishis, which means exclusively he only had a Machsheves Pigel in the second set of hazoyos or the third. He didn't have a Machsheves Pigel in the Matanos that came beforehand. And according to Reish Lakish, I don't understand why Rabbi Meir would establish this as Pigel unless you assume that Rabbi Meir holds Yesh Pigel B'chatzi Matir. And then we get to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ovin, who suggests Hacha Mayaskinon Kigon Shepigel B'shchita D'chad Matirhu. So B'li Neder, in the next year, we'll talk about the case of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ovin, where there's a Shvichas Adam, and he was mefagel on the replacement carbon during the Shechita.